Hi, welcome back to Cycling Talk podcast with me, Georgia Mahoney. Today, I am joined by rider for Trek Segafredo, Eleanor Blackstead. A massive thank you to Eleanor for being on and being such an amazing guest and giving me such great advice. It was great to hear about her riding before lockdown and then her injury during 2020 and how she's bounced back and how her season is going so far. Massive good luck to her for the rest of the year. I hope you enjoy listening. Thank you for joining me today, Eleanor.
Thank you so much for having me.
What's your first memory of being on a bike?
That was a long time ago for me now. So I don't know if I have a specific memory, but I have a memory that kind of matches a video that my granddad has where, it's almost my first race, really, where I went to Carmarthen Velodrome and I was on like a little bike with pink pom-poms on the sides and I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I was wobbling all over the place. I stopped in the middle of the finish line and yeah, I would say that would kind of be my first memory, but I learned to ride a bike when I was really quite young. So, yeah.
What's the first bike you remember being really excited about?
I think I was around 7 and it was when my dad was racing for Bianchi. And like, this is kind of what he's recalling to me that's matching up with my memory. And his memory is that I asked him for a bike like his and he thought I meant a bike the same colour. And he always tells me this story and he says, no, you said, I want the bike with the skinny tyres and the funny handlebars. And for my birthday, they managed to produce a small version of that exact bike. Wow. And I remember just being so in love with this bike because it was the first real, you know, race bike that I had. And I just remember being so excited about it. And I barely fit this bike at all, but I had it for so long. And yeah, I think we kept it until I was maybe even 13, just in the garage. And yeah, I would say that's the first bike that I was super excited about.
Tell me about growing up as part of a cycling family.
I would say that it's no different to a normal family, but it's quite different to a normal family. My dad was always away a lot because he was still racing when I was young. So mostly it was my mum in the house with my dad kind of in and out doing racing. And obviously what's different to a normal family is that then one of your parents is on the TV, so I could watch him doing the races and stuff. And then as me and Zoe got older, you know, we could both start riding, start racing. And, you know, we always had like the input from both mum and dad where they had the background knowledge to kind of help us learn and help us grow. And I think we're lucky that they really understood bike racing because it meant that they weren't necessarily results focused. They were kind of more looking at what we were doing in the races to help us grow and what we could do better rather than, oh, you didn't win today. Oh, no. But actually, we could have had a really good race because we were off the front attacking or, you know, a mechanical could have happened. And they understood a lot of the outside factors rather than just the results. So that was really cool.
When did you join a local club?
I would say around 6 or 7, I joined Maindy Flyers. Yeah, I'm trying to think that far away now. I would say 6 or 7 is my first memory of being in Maindy. And I specifically remember because I got a Maindy Flyers jersey and it was so big for me that it fitted until I was 12. They changed their kit almost 3 times at that point, but I tried it on in later years and it still just about fit. So it kind of, it looked like it fit at the time, but it was super baggy. And then it still fitted all those years later. But Maindy was a really good place to kind of have as a first club because there were so many kids my age also learning to do the same thing. And we had all the like track leagues and all the road series that we kind of just grew up doing and all the social sessions, which I just think is perfect.
Do you remember your first race for Maindy?
I actually don't remember that. It must have been one of those Maindy mini league things because I didn't start racing like seriously until I was maybe 12. So it's probably like a Thursday night Mandy Mini League or something like that, but I can't pinpoint a specific one.
And what disciplines were you doing when you started racing?
I was doing both road and track. I started mostly on the road, and then when I was big enough to ride a track bike and I was able to go on the track, I started the track. But when I first was doing track, actually there was no rules on the velodromes about the age limit, so I learned to ride the velodrome when I think I was maybe 6 or 7, because I was tall enough to fit the bikes. But then they made an age limit, which was I think 10, so I took them 3 years away from riding the velodrome, and I had to relearn it all over again when I was old enough to actually start racing properly, which was kind of cool but annoying at the time.
Can you tell me about your first national race?
I actually don't remember my first national race. I would say I only remember a few. I can only really remember a few. I remember kind of how the races went, but I don't really remember specifically. I just remember I always used to love to attack, but I could never stay off the front long enough to win the race.
In 2015, you raced out in Sweden and did the U6 cycle tour. You won the first two stages, and then on stage four, you crashed and broke your collarbone, but still rode 27K to the finish and managed to keep the leader's jersey. But then you are unable to start the next few stages. What do you remember about that race?
I'd first like to say I don't recommend finishing a race with a broken collarbone. No, the Sweden races were really great because in the UK you can't race on open roads and you don't really have any races more than 2 or 3 days. So with Dad being Swedish and he knew this race and he'd done it when he grew up, we kind of took the opportunity to go up there and see some family. And the race was six days long. And yeah, like you said, I think it was stage four that I crashed. It was a town centre crit, and there was an off camber corner, and I just completely lost the front wheel. And it was just like one of those silly crashes, and I just landed on my shoulder. But I'd never kind of crashed like that before, so I was in a lot of pain, but I didn't really know what the problem was. So kind of cyclists being cyclists, you just pick yourself up and you get back on and you kind of deal with the consequences later, which again I don't recommend doing. But yeah, I remember I had blood pouring down my knee, and I remember shouting to my dad, "My shoulder really hurts, my shoulder really hurts," but didn't really think anything of it. And then afterwards we kind of went to, like, I was chasing back on and chasing back on, and I think I caught the bunch maybe 2 Ks from the line, but I wasn't able to kind of sprint it out. I just kind of rolled in with the bunch. And then I remember afterwards he took me to the ambulance, and we were just trying to work out what the problem was. And we ended up going to hospital, and they then said that I'd broken the collarbone, but it was more kind of a bend rather than a break, which is why I wasn't in excruciating pain. But yeah, that was a bit of an experience for me because I'd not kind of experienced too much about that besides breaking my leg a few years before. So yeah, that was something, because I was really frustrated that I couldn't start the next day, because I'm one of those people that doesn't like to give up and doesn't like to, stop, but there's a time and a place for that.
When did you start racing for Backstead Cycling?
I think it was my first year under 16s we started the team, and we kind of wanted to kind of get a group of people together that wanted to kind of experience racing abroad, because British racing and racing abroad is two very different things. And like I said earlier about Sweden, you kind of in the UK you just race on Castle Coombe or all these circuit races, but out in Belgium you've got all the open roads, you've got some cobbles, you've got all the echelons that can happen, and it's a completely different mind game. So we'd worked out that there was a few kermesses or junior races that we could do, and there was a group of people that wanted to do it. So yeah, we just went and started.
In 2016, you became the under 16 national individual pursuit champ, and you also set a new national record. How did it feel to wear the national champs jersey?
Yeah, that was an incredible moment, actually. I didn't really expect that to happen. IPs were kind of something that I'd never really known I was good at, and I remember we went to one of the junior academy days and we kind of tested them out, and I just happened to actually quite like them and ended up being good at them. And yeah, I there was a lot of really good riders in that year group, and I fought really, really hard to kind of get that national record and to win the jersey, and it was a really proud moment for me, actually. And the national record before was set for so long that, like, to break it was, yeah, was a really incredible moment.
Was that your first time winning a national champs jersey as well?
I think it was, yeah, because before that it was only a Omnium Championships that we were able to do. So I think you're right there. I think that was my first one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
And later in the year, you set a national team pursuit record with your Welsh teammates. What was it like to achieve that?
that was a really cool moment. We had quite a lot of really good individual pursuitists in Wales. So the fact that we were kind of able to get them together and to get the team pursuit dialed in together was really great. And we were really good friends, that team. So I think it showed that when you're happy like that, you're able to ride fast too.
In 2017, you started the year by winning the Youth Tour of Scotland. Can you tell me about this?
Yeah, the Youth Tour of Scotland was a really good race, actually. It was one of the few races where we were actually allowed to go out on the roads. You kind of stayed in this boarding school and you race for your regions. And yeah, I remember the first day it was quite hilly and I just attacked, and I managed to go solo to the finish, and I'd not really done that before. So that was a really cool moment for me. And racing for Wales again was really nice, and we had, I think, a team time trial, and it was just my first real taste of, like, a proper stage race, and that really made me want more.
And you got selected to race the European Youth Olympics and then came away with a bronze medal. What was the race and the experience like?
The experience was incredible, actually. I'd had quite a lot of difficulties leading into the Youth Olympics, because after Tour of Scotland, me and my sister collided with a car on a training ride. So it'd been quite a difficult run in, and I'd really set Youth Olympics as a goal of mine, to go and just, represent GB for the first time. And the time trial was really a cool experience for me, actually. Yeah, we just flew and we went to the opening ceremony, and it was just completely different to anything I'd ever experienced. And to be racing against all these nations with all these riders that I'd not really raced before was, it was really, really cool. And to come away with bronze was amazing and something that I didn't really expect. So that was a bonus.
And obviously, you're a second year under 16. Did it make you excited to then step up to junior the next year?
Yeah, I'd always, my whole youth career, let's say, been really excited to become a junior, because restricted gears of that sort were not really good for me. I didn't really have much cadence. So I was always waiting and waiting and waiting to have extra gears and extra gears and extra gears. So when I stepped up to juniors, I was really happy to kind of get into some proper bike racing and to be able to go to all these countries and race these Nations Cups and meet all these new people and experience more of the life of a cyclist.
Can you tell me a bit about what happened in your car accident?
Yeah, it's kind of a bit foggy for me because I did hit my head, but we were just out on a training ride and a car had turned in front of me and Zoe, and they hadn't seen us, And Zoe was on my wheel, so luckily she came off a lot lighter and she kind of just bashed her shoulder on the side of the car. But unfortunately, I hit the bonnet and landed on the windscreen. So it was quite, yeah, not a great day for me. But I came away from that with quite a few bruises and cuts, and luckily no broken bones. But I did suffer with concussion and a bit of whiplash for quite a while. So it meant I had to take quite a lot of time off the bike, which I'm not very good at.
Amazing that you got back quick for the European Youth Olympics there.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a really big goal of mine at the time. And I really, really, really wanted to be healthy for that. So sometimes taking time off helps you in the future.
Tell me about what it was like racing the Madison National Champs with Zoe.
That was a really cool experience, actually. We'd kind of been waiting for Zoe to be old enough to kind of be able to ride up in these events, and we'd worked out that the track championship she would be allowed to ride up, because Madison wasn't an under 14s event. So yeah, we decided that we would be partners, and we just raced how we both like to race, which is just have fun and race as hard as you can and hope for the best. And yeah, it was a really, really fun experience to do. And we did it again when she was under 16s and I was juniors, and she raced up in the junior event, and to win with her was, yeah, it was really, really fun.
So in 2018, you then moved up to the junior category. How did you find the jump?
The jump for me was actually pretty okay, because I quite like training and I'd trained quite a lot when I was under 16s. Not an excessive amount, but I just wanted to be prepared for being junior, because I'd been so excited to kind of race these longer distances. And yeah, it was difficult my first year, because I suffered with glandular fever quite badly. So that kind of took a toll on my body and, you know, being able to race the way I wanted to. But once I'd kind of got over that, it was really nice to kind of feel myself again and to be able to just, yeah, race my bike the way I wanted to race my bike, because it's so difficult when you're put in a situation where your body doesn't do what it's used to doing, and it can be quite mentally draining as well.
You got to race internationally, but as you said, you suffered with illness at different parts of the season. At Road National Champs, you were able to take away a silver. Were you pleased to get this after a tough road season?
Yeah, that second place was a really good day for me. I'd been, yeah, like I said before, I'd been really suffering throughout the winter with just illness after illness after illness, with then what we found out was glandular fever. So once I managed to kind of get over that and start training properly again, it was really nice to just feel like my old self on the bike and to get that second place. And I remember the race where I think there was three or four of us in a breakaway, and it was a super hot race. And yeah, to get that second place was a really, really good moment for me.
At the Track National Champs, you got another second place, and that was in the individual pursuit, and you also got a new PB. And then at your first World Champs experience, a few weeks later, you and the GB girls came away with third. How was that experience, and how pleased were you to come away with the medal?
Yeah, my first World Championships was a really good experience. I didn't actually expect to be going to Worlds, so it was not necessarily a last-minute call, but my legs had kind of got into the form that I'd hoped they would be in, and they were able to put me in the team, which was really great. And I remember the team pursuit was crazy. The track was shorter than what we were used to, so we were doing, I think it was 20 laps instead of 16, or, you know, something crazy like that. So everything was just slightly different. And in the final, we got caught behind the Italians, and they caught us, so they were behind us, and they put up this red flag. And I didn't know what this red flag meant, but something in my brain was telling me it means don't change. And afterwards, I checked with the coach, and it did. And I'd got stuck on the front with five laps to go, because the red flag means that they're trying to pass you. But they didn't pass us. They just sat off the back because it meant they'd got into the final ride, basically. And yeah, this was obviously my first World Championships, and now I'm doing five laps on the front. And I just remember suffering so, so, so hard. And when we realized that we got the bronze, we were so happy. And yeah, it was just a crazy, crazy moment. And we were all really proud of each other.
And then how did the Road World Champs? You had a GB training camp and then took the youth classification in the Watersley Ladies Challenge. How were you feeling ahead of Worlds?
I think I was feeling quite good before Worlds. Again, this is quite a few years ago, so I'm just trying to think. But I remember Watersley was a new race, or it was at least a new race for us. So we weren't too sure what to expect. But there was a breakaway that went, and we managed to get, I think, a couple riders in the breakaway. And yeah, there was also a time trial, actually, which is what kind of got me in the young riders jersey in the first place. But ahead of Worlds, I think I was just really excited because I'd not experienced the Road Worlds before. And I think I was quite nervous because it was really hilly. And there was one super steep climb. And then after that, we went up the mountain and we came back down. And I remember just not knowing what to expect at all. But that kind of whole month leading into Worlds was a really good month, and it was really good that we could have had that training camp and then the race to kind of also suss out how everybody else is riding. And I think even now Watersley is still a really important Nations Cup to kind of judge who's going to be going well for Worlds and who's not. So yeah, it was a really good time.
And in Austria at the World Champs, you came away with a bronze in the junior time trial. How did it feel to get that medal?
I honestly had no expectations going into that race. Pfeiffer, who was the other rider going into this race, was more the favourite than me because I was a first year and I'd never really done a time trial that long before. I think 20Ks was the longest time trial that I'd ever done, which was that race. Before that, it'd just been your local 10-mile time trials just down the dual carriageway. So yeah, with that amount of hills in as well, it was quite difficult and I just didn't know what to expect. And I just went full gas on the flat leading in and the coach was telling me, you're going too hard, you're going too hard. But I knew that I needed to do the first half, which was the flat half, as hard as possible and then just hold on to it and hope for the best. And I managed to hold on for third place. So I was really, really pleased with that. And it was a moment that I was really proud of because it was just so unexpected. And yeah, it's a moment that I'll take with me forever, I think.
At the end of the year, you won the Carwyn James Young Sportswoman of the Year award at the BBC Wales Sports Personality of the Year. What did it mean to you to win that?
That was a really incredible award. I had no idea what was going on. I just knew we'd been invited to this event, and my mum had invited the hairdresser around, and I had my hair done and everything, and I hadn't even known what was going on. So when they called my name up, I didn't even know I was nominated. So when they called my name up that I'd won, I was in so much shock that like somebody had recognized all my achievements of that year and they'd taken notice of this and that and all these things. And it was really an honor to be even nominated, let alone to have won. So yeah, it was a really proud moment for me.
Out in Mallorca just before Christmas, you broke your collarbone. Can you tell me about this?
Yes. So we went on a training camp in Mallorca, like you said, and we were doing some lead out practice and we just kind of bumped into each other somehow. When you're in the lead up moment, everything's kind of a bit of a blur, and somehow we just ended up on the floor. And I remember we were sat on the ground with the ambulance next to us, and Team Sky rode past, or Sky at the time, and we were all just like, oh no, this is so embarrassing. But I'd only really had my small break before, so this was a completely different thing. And I remember like patting down and asking like somebody like, is my bone okay? And the next thing you know, like they're putting me on a stretcher and I've got like a neck brace on, and they rushed three of us to hospital, which was not great. And the Mallorca hospital was so small, and I'll never forget that one of the girls, she got placed in her bed against a wall with a sticker on it as her room. And the coach was not allowed in to see her, so she was really trying to like fight to get in, because obviously she was responsible for us at this moment. And yeah, it makes you grow up fast, those kind of moments. And the next day I was on a flight home to have my collarbone operated on, and my training camp lasted one day, but it's a good story to tell.
How did you find recovering from that?
I was quite lucky that my dad knows a good surgeon, so I was able to have surgery on it because it was really broken this time. But when you have surgery, it kind of means you can wait 5 to 10 days before you can get back on the turbo, instead of being in a sling for 6 weeks and it's still not being healed. So I was back riding, I think it was 10 days, because it was over Christmas and I just wanted to kind of take some time, regather myself, and then yeah, after that I started riding again. And the recovery was pretty good actually. I didn't have much pain, the scar healed really well. I was able to go on some training camps in preparation for Binder and for Gent-Wevelgem and like that. So actually it was probably one of the smoothest recoveries that I've had. Yeah.
At the start of 2019, you joined Story Racing. How did this move come about?
We've always kind of been friends with the Stories. Dad's always known them, and Sarah mentioned that they wanted to kind of start more of a junior setup rather than an elite setup, and kind of asked if I wanted to join, if Zoe wanted to join in the future, if I knew any good riders, and it just kind of came about from there, really. So there was some older riders, some riders my age, and it was just to help riders learn and get into good races and have the support that we needed, and have Sarah as a role model, which she has so much knowledge, and I've learned so much from her over the years that, yeah, it was a really, really good team to be in at that age.
So after breaking your collarbone at the end of 2018, you then went out to Europe at the start of 2019 and did some racing with GP, and then you went and won Junior Gent-Wevelgem. Can you tell me about this?
Yeah, actually, that was probably one of my best days on the bike ever. Or at least, yeah, for now. I remember we rode the course the day before, and we were doing some like activation sprints, and I hit an all-time 5 second power, and I was like, okay, like that's good, because I hadn't kind of hit one of those in a while. And I just felt really fresh and really ready. And the day of the race came, and I just had the best legs I'd ever had until that moment. And I got in a few small moves, but kind of didn't do too much work. But just, yeah, we were racing for me, so I had quite a good support system around me. And my, like I said, I managed to get in one or two moves early on just to kind of test the legs. And we'd kind of had a plan with one lap to go. There was this cobbled section, and I was gonna kind of attack at the end of it, and there was a left-hand turn, and this one girl kind of went hard during it and got a little bit of a gap, and I must have been maybe fifth wheel, so I just thought, you know what, I'm just gonna go for it. And it was maybe 13k to go, so I just went full gas over this cobbled section, and I caught the girl and I passed the girl. And I turned left, I just kept going and going. And then I looked behind me and there was a gap. And I thought, okay, at this moment in time, there's 12, 13 Ks to go. You just need to commit everything, or you need to go back to the bunch. And I just committed, and I had, I think, 15 seconds for the whole 12K that was left. And the coach, like, we didn't have radios or anything, so the coach was really beeping. And she said to me afterwards, she said, I didn't know if you were going to make it. I didn't know if you were going to make it, because the whole time there was no more than 15 seconds, which anything can go wrong and it'll cost you 15 seconds. And I just remember riding down the cobbles at the end, and my sister had won the race previously as well. And it just being like a really proud moment for me that everything had kind of gone the way that I'd wanted it to. And I'd been able to also pay off the riders for all the good work they'd done for me that day too. So it was a really, really happy moment. And it was Mother's Day and my mum got 2 wins. So she was also
happy. At the Omloop Van Boursel Nations Cup, you took 2 stage wins and won the GC. Tell me about that race.
So there was a time trial in that race. You can tell now my memory's getting a bit better because it's not so far away. There was a time trial in that race, and then there was 2 road stages, and I'd really been praying for wind, but there wasn't any. Like, I think this was almost the only year that there'd been no wind in this race. But I won the time trial, I think, by 15 seconds. So I had a small bit of a buffer, but again, anything can go wrong in these races. So we'd kind of had a plan to do lead outs for the bonus seconds and then lead outs for the final. And I think both days they came down to a bunch sprint because it was flat. And the girls did a really good job in leading me out. And we'd been practicing for Worlds and stuff as well for lead outs just to get everything right. And I think both days they were within a half a wheel the sprint, so I never got to celebrate or anything. And I think it was my first bunch sprint that I'd actually won, because Megan Yastrab had come in that year and she'd come in and won all the sprints, and I'd never ever been good at bunch sprinting before, so this was kind of a new territory for me. And yeah, I think to kind of win a bunch sprint actually gave me the confidence that I needed as well to prove to myself that I could do that.
You did the Nations Cup races for GB, but then you got the chance to do the Asda Tour de Yorkshire women's race for Story. How did it feel to get to ride with the team?
That race was a really, really incredible race, actually. It was just after the Tour Series, I think. No, it was just before the Tour Series and just after my Nations Cup block. So I'd had really good legs going into this, but this was this was the course for the World Championships of that year. So every team was there. And it was, I think, before World Tour teams was officially a thing. So you had Bol Stålmans there, you had Trek there, you had every team that was a big team at the time was there. And I was restricted to my junior gears. So I remember the first day was a bunch sprint, and kind of 5K to go. It was so fast leading in that I'd just got stuck to the back, and I couldn't move up for the life of me. And I was just like, I really need to get to the front. And the last corner, it kind of turned left and then it went down and up. And I just cut everyone down the inside. not like in necessarily a dangerous way, but I just saw there was a gap and I was like, okay, now's my time to move up. And I just went, and somehow I managed to get, I think, 17th or something in that bunch sprint, which was really cool. But I think the next day then was the day where we actually recce'd some of the technical downhill on the time trial course of the World Championships. So that was a really hilly day, actually. And I really surprised myself, actually, that I ended up, I think, 34th or 35th on GC. And it was one of the hardest days on the bike that I've ever had. It was hailing, the group split because it was hail. Then there was a headwind, I think, for the last 10Ks back. There were steep climbs at 25%. There was a long tailwind section, and I was on the back of this group on my junior gears, and I looked behind me and there was nobody else there. And I was on and off the back. And I just remember thinking, okay, you cannot lose the back of this group because you're going to be by yourself. And I must have been spinning, I think, 120, 130 RPM. And I was going so, so hard. And I just managed to hang on to the back of this group. And I managed to roll in with them to the finish, but it was one of the hardest races that I'd done till that point. And it was a really, really good race. And that race actually was what made me decide that I wanted to become a road rider and kind of have that as my career. So it was a really good race for me, and it was a race that I'll like keep close to my heart. And there's actually a picture of me and Lizzie next to each other, like in that race. And then it's just funny that like the year after we then became teammates, which was really cool. And she laughs about it now that, I was doing whatever and she was doing whatever. And yeah, then it's really cool that actually I joined that team the next year.
As you said, then you did the tour series after that with Story. How did you find that?
And the tour series for me was really hard. It was quite often downhill, uphill, downhill, uphill, with I think 1 or 2K circuits. So it was really quite difficult for me, but I think it's a really good race to have. And actually, I'm really sad that it's not happening anymore, because I think it's a really good race for riders to kind of show what they've got. And you can be a track rider and be good at this race, you can be a road rider, you can be whatever. And as long as you can go around corners well and you can climb well, like it's a really, really aggressive racing because the TV coverage is really good. It's really a perfect race, and I did have a lot of fun doing it, although it was really difficult. But I think it's a really, really fun race.
At the Junior Track European Champs, you took a silver medal in the team pursuit, and then you won gold and a European Champs jersey in the individual pursuit, and again in the Madison with Sophie Lewis. How did it feel to come away with 3 medals?
It was incredible that week. The team pursuit, we kind of messed up in qualifying, and I think we qualified 8th. I could be wrong, but that could have been the world champs. But we kind of all somehow ended up in different places on the track, and to kind of come away with a medal like that was a really good moment for us because we managed to somehow save it and bring it back together. And yeah, that was really great. And then the individual pursuit was incredible. I'd been kind of working towards the goal of the world record, actually. And although I didn't get the world record, I think I was 0.1 off or something. It was still a really big achievement for me, and I was still really happy with the ride that I did, and I couldn't have got any more out. So yeah, to come away with that jersey was a really proud moment. And the same with the Madison. The Madison, we raced really well together, and I crashed, I think, with 1 lap to go, and I nearly took Sophie out in the handsling. And the fact that we still held on to that, I mean, Madison is crazy. And we just raced really well together, and it was just, yeah, really, really good racing, actually.
And a week before Worlds, it was the National Champs. You won 2 jerseys, including the Madison win with Zoe. What was it like to get the chance to wear your European Champs jersey?
Yeah, that was really incredible because I didn't actually know that you needed to wear it for nationals. So I arrived at nationals and there was a new skin suit for me. And I still have that skin suit actually hanging up in my wardrobe because it was a really proud moment to see like my team logos on a jersey, because before you just have, the UCI one. So to kind of see that somebody had specifically printed a jersey for me was a really, really cool. And obviously, there's pressure that comes with that jersey. And we were kind of aiming for the world champs at this point. So I was still having the pressure to kind of do good times. But I really enjoyed that week of racing. And to race Madison with Zoe and not Sophie was obviously a big decision too, because we were going to go and race Worlds together. But I had so much fun with Zoe last time that I just wanted to race my bike with her again, because I knew that that would be kind of my last option for a few years and my last chance to be able to have her as a partner. So yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, there can't be many people who have had the chance to do medicine with their sister.
No, and I will forever be grateful that we were kind of the correct ages to be able to do that, because it's a really special moment to be able to kind of win a national jersey with your sister.
So heading into Worlds, what were you hoping for?
I was hoping for a World Champs jersey, and I was hoping for a world record, and I got neither. But I gave absolutely everything that I had, and I rode as hard as I could to that finish line, and there was absolutely nothing else I could have done. And it just happened that somebody else was better on the day, and you know what? Sometimes that's just how it works. And I think as long as you give absolutely everything you've got, you can't be too upset with that. And you know, I was gutted that I didn't get either of the things that I'd come there for, but there was absolutely nothing else I could have given to get that jersey or to get that record. And in the end, neither of us got the record. So yeah, it's just one of those things. And actually, that silver proves quite a lot for me as well. So
Yeah, and obviously you would have been disappointed at first, but you still came away with 3 medals, a third in the team pursuit, second in the Madison, and then second in the individual pursuit. After it sort of sunk in, were you pleased with the fact that you'd got those medals?
yeah, it was an incredible week for me, actually. And like you said, although I was disappointed with like not winning, I was actually really proud of that second, because it represented that I fought my absolute hardest for something, and you really can't give any more than your best. So yeah, it was bittersweet, but I was still really happy with the second. And the second in the Madison as well was really good. We raced so hard. I think actually our racing rider finished half a lap down because we blew up so hard, and we were just managing to hold on for absolute dear life. So yeah, they both represent a lot for me, actually. And the team pursuit again was a really great ride with some really great girls, so you can't be much happier than that.
And at Road Worlds, you got a bronze medal in the time trial and then fifth in the road race. You must have been happy to end your time as a junior with these results.
Yeah, that was a really great week for me, especially the time trial. I went into the time trial with a lot of pressure, being kind of the favourite, and as well with it being a home championships and the last rider to leave, there was kind of a lot of weight on my shoulders of expectations of people. And this course was nothing that would ever suit me. And I knew that, but I still had a lot of pressure on myself as well to kind of live up to the expectations that people kind of put to you, because there's a lot of media articles, there's a lot of everything going about of, you know, what I'm going to do next year when I turn professional, and how I'm going to ride, and last year's results, and all of that. So to come away with third in that time trial was completely unexpected. But a really, really proud moment for me, because it kind of proved that I could put all of the pressure aside and just do the race. And the coach said to me before you go off, just push your limits and do something that scares you. And ironically, I nearly crashed myself in the, I think, second corner, because I did something that scared me and I committed too fast. But I managed to save it. And I think that adrenaline kind of carried me through the rest of the race. But, it was a really good race. And again, the road race, there was a lot of crashes in that, so it was kind of a little bit scary. And it wasn't necessarily the perfect course for juniors with the way that the wind went, because it ended up being flat tailwind. And on restricted gears, that was quite difficult in that time. And the sprint, kind of, there was a huge crash that happened to my right. And I remember just hesitating as somebody attacked. And I'll always regret that hesitation, because I think I could have ended up jumping earlier and maybe getting a bronze, because there was two off the front. But it's always in hindsight and you never know. But it was a really good race, actually. And to do it in front of, you know, a home crowd and with my family there watching was amazing.
At the end of 2019, you joined Trek Segafredo and you went out to the US to meet your new teammates. How did it feel to be a part of that team?
It was amazing to be part of that team. It was really nice because I'd officially signed with them kind of the week or two before Worlds. So there was no pressure kind of leading into that, that kind of my contract depended on the results, which I think was the relief that I needed to be able to actually do a good result. But going to America by myself at 17 was quite an experience. I remember meeting Ellen in the airport and kind of being a bit starstruck because she's kind of a similar type of rider as to what I am. And these riders are people that I've grown up admiring, and all of a sudden I'm catching a plane with Ellen Van Dijk, and it turns out she was actually my roommate. Which again, it's like, what is happening? I was so starstruck, but you kind of have to like take a step back from that and be like, okay, these are not your idols anymore. These are your teammates, and you need to be one of them. And they were all so welcoming. And I was really nervous before I went that they were all going to kind of treat me like a baby because I was so young. But they all welcomed me with open arms, and they just treated me more like a sister than like a daughter or a baby or, the young one, which was really nice. And they were also willing to help teach me the ways of the peloton and, not tell me off if I did something wrong, but be like, okay, next time try this. And I'll be really grateful for that forever.
At the start of 2020, you got a couple of races in out in Belgium, and then lockdown happened and racing stopped. Then in May, on a mountain bike ride, you crashed and had to be taken to hospital. Can you tell me what happened and what your injury was?
So I was out mountain biking with my dad and my sister, and we were kind of coming down a hill, and where it had been super dry in 2020, the ground was really loose, and I just lost my front wheel, and I put my leg out to stop myself, and I kind of rolled my ankle, and I remember hearing this crack. And I don't know whether I heard it or whether something was just telling me that. But before I'd even hit the ground, I said to my dad, I think I've just broken my leg. And he was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? And I was like, I think I've just broken my leg. And he then had to basically squat holding my leg in place for, I think, 2 hours. They had to send a mountain rescue car to come and collect me. I had to have one of the air casts, and they had all kinds of things. And because it was COVID, it was really difficult. And there was a rock garden at the bottom of this descent that I'd been down, so they couldn't get anything up to me. So then I had to be wheeled down the mountain in a stretcher and taken to hospital, like you said. And I then had an x-ray, and it was a spiral fracture again of my tibia, the same one that I'd done 3 or 4 years before. And I spent the rest of lockdown in a cast on my parents' sofa in the UK, not in Belgium where I just moved to, which was a shame. And I didn't get to race again that season, which was also a shame. But sometimes these things just happen.
It meant you couldn't move around a lot and you had to take lots of time off the bike. How did you find that?
That was really difficult. It was mostly difficult not being able to do things by myself, because I'm a very independent person, and I like to, go for walks by myself. Or I couldn't even lift my leg up to kind of get off the sofa to go to the toilet by myself. I needed help for everything. I couldn't wash my hair by myself. I couldn't do anything for a long, long time, and that was the most frustrating for me. And to kind of know that everybody else was having these amazing training blocks because there was no racing, was really difficult. And once the racing started again, I so wanted to get back, but because I hadn't been able to even walk, let alone ride my bike. I knew it was going to take a long, long time. And obviously, when you do nothing as well, you end up gaining some more weight, which is completely normal. But you then are a completely different person to how you left off. So it was a really difficult time for me, but I had a lot of support from my family and from my friends and from my team and my coaches to kind of get me back to how I was in like a healthy way that was good for my body and good for my bones, because I'm still so young, you don't want to do anything that will prevent your career in the future as well. So yeah, it was an interesting time, but there was also a lot of family bonding, which was really nice. And I got to spend some extra time with my parents and my sister too. So that was a positive to take out of it.
The recovery process, as you said, took a long time. What kept you busy whilst in lockdown and unable to ride?
Netflix. I couldn't do too much else, but because the weather was so nice, I was able to sit outside a lot and get a bit of a tan on one leg. But yeah, just kind of spending time with the family and just relaxing, because actually cycling's a really demanding sport. So you don't actually have a lot of time where you can sit and do nothing and just chat and sleep and recover, rest. So that's mostly what it was sleeping, Netflix, and spending time with my family.
After 4 months off the bike in September, you did the turbo session. How did it feel to be back cycling?
It was interesting. It was really nice to be back on the bike, but it was really quite a daunting thing for me because I'd spent so long off the bike, and it was still quite painful to bend my knee where I'd had a full cast, and you know, to put pressure on the leg was kind of weird, and I couldn't get out the saddle or I couldn't clip in and out. But it was really nice to know that it was the start of the road to recovery, and it was the start of getting me back racing my bike.
And you gradually did more riding. Did you find it quite tough to sort of get back after being off so long?
Yeah, it was really tough because my leg was so small. You know, you need to kind of build up slowly and get used to things slowly, and even learning how to clip in and out, because that was the same motion as the break in my leg. Well, actually, I was riding in trainers for I think 2 or 3 weeks, and it was just slowly building up, and then every other day for a bit, and then would be every day with a rest day on the third day, or just slowly increasing, kind of getting back on the bike and then getting ready to be able to go on training camps and stuff too. But yeah, it was a slow process, but we got there in the end.
In 2021, racing started up again. And how did you feel to be going into your season and into your first races back?
So my first race back was originally meant to be Samin, which I was really looking forward to, but deep down I kind of knew that I wasn't quite ready to be back doing cobbles yet. And I had a call from the team, and they said, yeah, we don't think you're ready, which was quite heartbreaking, but also it was nice that they could kind of see also where I was at. And then Brabants was my first race after that. And that was quite a hilly race to be my first race. And I remember, I think I got dropped 4 times. And every time I got dropped back on, I'd get back on, I'd go to the front, I'd ask the team, what can I do to help? I'd do something, then another climb would come, and then I'd get dropped again. And then I'd chase back on, and I'd go back to the front, and I'd do some more work, or I'd bring them some bottles or something. And it was, for me, just being back in the bike race was really nice. And getting dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped was obviously quite demoralizing, but I was just happy to be able to get back in and to be able to help out in a certain way, or, you know, to get each week further and further in the race. And I think they could see how much of a fighter I was by the fact that I didn't just give up the first or second time that I got dropped. I kept going and going and going until I literally had nothing left. And I mean, I'm still like that today. Like, I will keep going and going and going until I can't do any more work, or I can't climb any further, or I've got nothing else to give. And yeah, I got better, which was which was great.
You had a bigger season that year compared to previous years. You raced in France, Spain, Norway, Belgium, and Luxembourg. What were some of your highlights from that season?
I think the highlights for me were kind of getting to feel like my old self again. You know, by the time I was racing in Scandinavia, I really started to kind of feel like I was my old self in the race, and I could do lead-ins, I could do long turns on the front, I could chase back breakaways, I could climb a little bit too, and just to kind of have my fitness back and have my race head back and be able to actually help out my teammates in the race was something that I was really proud of. And yeah, it was just so nice to actually be doing my job and to be able to go to all these new countries and to properly spend time with my teammates as well. So overall, it was a really tough year for me, having to fight in every single race to get back to where I was. But I'm really proud of how resilient I was and how I was able to get back so quickly and, yeah, to start racing like I did before.
Last year, you raced the women's tour for the first time. What was that like?
I think that was my favourite race of last season. It was a really great experience racing in the UK and then racing on Welsh roads, and with Elisa taking the jersey and the fight on the last day to keep the jersey or to take the jersey back. I can't quite remember, but I just remember it being such a fight that I think she lost the jersey in one of the intermediate sprints, and she was so disheartened. And she said, "I'm so sorry." And we were like, "Don't worry, we'll just go for the next one. Every sprint, we'll do what we can." And we just fought and fought and fought and fought till the end. And the last day, we had this mega lead out from so far to go. And yeah, she got third in the bunch sprint and she took the jersey. And I think that was one of the highlights of my season from 2022, and how well we worked as a team together. And just as well, to have home crowds made it even better.
I was able to go in the guest car in the Gloucester stage, and I remember the car went past you, and me and my mum were like, "Oh my god, it's Eleanor Paxton right next to the car."
I had an amazing experience in the car.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was so like weird to be so close to you guys. It was,
yeah,
I was a bit, I wasn't even like speaking to you, but I was like starstruck. I was like, "Oh my god, she's right there."
Awestruck. But thank you. That's such a great experience for you though, because you can't get that close to riders just standing on the side of the road. It's almost like you're in the bike race when you're in the cars, and coming all round you from all different angles.
Yeah, it was so cool. At the national champs, you got second in the under 23 time trial and then fifth in the elite women's road race. Were you pleased with this?
Yeah, I was really pleased, especially with the road race, actually, because I hadn't raced for myself in a long, long time, basically since I was a junior. So it took quite a lot for me to kind of remember how to protect myself and how to kind of not ride in the wind and not do all the things that I'm normally doing. And it was a little bit of a hilly course too, and there was so, so much wind. And I remember just like thinking, okay, it was as well 3 days, I think, before I got married. So I was first of all thinking, you can't crash, you can't crash, you can't crash. And then I was thinking, okay, was a breakaway off the front, and there were so many riders from drops and from some cams and from other kind of small British teams. And I was one, there was Anna Shackley who was one, there was one Uno X, one EF, and we were like, okay, we just need to kind of almost form one big team, but not one big team, and just kind of make a breakaway. And actually in the end we did go in a breakaway, and I think almost everyone from the World Tour teams was there, plus a couple of others. And we just rode hard and rode hard and rode hard, and then I got dropped, I think, with one lap to go on the climb, and I just chased and chased and chased and chased, and I couldn't do anything else. And I was really proud that I'd managed to get over the climbs for starters, and that I'd managed to remember how to race for me and how to look after myself. And yeah, I was a bit gutted that I couldn't do more, but at the end of the day, it was my first national champs, because every year besides that I'd been injured. So you can't complain with fifth at your first nationals.
So we mentioned when you were younger about your opportunities to represent Wales. And last year you got to represent Wales at the Birmingham Commonwealth Games. How did it feel to put on the Welsh jersey?
It was really an honour to represent Wales, actually. And it was something I was really looking forward to, because my mum had also represented Wales in the Commonwealth Games. And it was actually something that just me and her could share, or I'm sure in the future, me, her and Zoe can share. But, you know, normally it's things that us and our dad can share. So this was kind of something nice that could just be between us. And I had really great legs for the time trial, which was amazing. I'd not really done a time trial that long before, and I'd not had Darren in the car either, so that was all a new experience for me. And then it was quite a technical time trial as well, and I remember kind of getting halfway through and my radio turning off, like it just went silent, and I was thinking, oh, this is quite a sharp corner, like why is nobody telling me, okay, Eleanor, please come out of the skis and go to your bars, you've got a sharp right turn. And I took it quite fast, and I last minute came out, and I was like, okay, maybe he just didn't realize. And then we got to the next corner and nothing, and then we got to a descent and nothing, and I'd realized that there was nothing going on in the radio, which halfway through a long time trial is quite, I don't know, it's when you need the encouragement the most. And I remember just thinking, okay, you've got your Garmin, or you've got your Wahoo, and you just need to ride. You just need to have everything out. And I just went as hard as I could, just did what I could. And with remembering the corners, because we'd recce'd it, and having the moto in front, I was just following the lines of the moto for how sharp the corners were. So actually, I was really happy with the ride that I'd done, considering that the radio had gone off as well, because it's such a big part of time trialing that people don't think about. And as well, my legs were great, and I had my family there, and I came away with a top 10. Well, I think it was a top 10 in the end. And I was just really happy that I'd done a good ride and that I got to represent Wales. And yeah, the road race as well was really fun. We raced really well. We'd not really raced together as a team before, because obviously in a time trial, you don't need to think about team tactics. Mm. But in a road race, when you've not really raced with these riders before, and all of a sudden you put in like a championship, it can be quite difficult. But I think we raced quite well. And it's nice that there's like room for improvement for the next years coming as well. And I think we've got a really good team that we can have some good results with.
Yeah, I think you finished eighth in the time trial.
Yeah, I think it was eighth, yeah. I was really, really happy with that, actually. Yeah. Some really good riders that finished ahead of me. So, yeah, it was a good day.
Later in the year, you headed down under to New South Wales in Australia for the World Champs, your first Worlds experience as an under-23. How was it?
It was a really good experience, actually. I wasn't sure if I was going to be picked for the team because of the course. But I had quite good legs the day of the race, which was really nice. It took me a while to get over the jet lag, and I was quite concerned that I wasn't going to feel fresh enough for the race. And I'd said to the coach before, you know, my best option for this race is to go in a breakaway, because I'm not going to get round the lap if I don't go in a breakaway, because they'll ride too hard up the steep climb, and steep climbs aren't really my type of thing. You know, I can do the long steady climb, so that first one wasn't really too much of a concern for me, especially after we'd seen that Annemieke crash in the time trial. I thought, okay, maybe they'd want to wait a little bit, see how she's riding before they go hard in the climb. So after the big climb, there was an attack that went, and I just thought, I'm going to follow it. We'd been told to follow the under 23 riders. go as an under 23 rider. And I thought, okay, here's my chance to go in a breakaway. And they let it go, which was really great. And it meant that I could, I think, do 3 laps of the circuit ahead of the race. And then I could join the group again once we got caught, and I did a lead in for the 4th time. And then I blew up spectacularly. I didn't finish the race and I was riding so slow, but I was so happy with the fact that I'd been able to execute the plan that I'd given for myself, and that I'd got the best out of that race that I possibly could. Because if I'd have just stayed in the peloton, I maybe would have been dropped lap 1 or lap 2 of the circuit, and I wouldn't have had the same satisfaction of helping them lead into the 4th time up the climb, or being ahead of the race, meaning that they didn't need to chase down anyone, or they didn't need to follow the attacks, or they didn't need to do any work. So kind of putting myself out there was great for me and great for the team, and it really showed me what I was actually capable of.
So we're now in 2023, and you started off your season for Trek Segafredo with the first ever UAE Women's Tour. How was this experience?
UAE Tour was amazing, actually. It was extremely difficult being the first race of the year for me. My legs and my body could not work out what I was trying to do for like the first 2 or 3 days. So the second day specifically was the crazy crosswinds days, and my legs were not feeling that great. And we kind of rolled out of the car park, turned left, immediate crosswinds. And I actually got a new all-time 5-minute and an all-time 10-minute power in this race. And it was the first 10 minutes, 0 to 10 minutes of this race was my new 10-minute power. And I made it into group 1, and then I went bang. And then I made it into group 2, and then I went bang. And I ended up in group 3 with my climber teammate, Gaia. So then I was kind of a little bit bodyguard, but I just sat in for the rest of the day, kind of turning the legs over, trying to stay sheltered and hoping that my body would realize that it's time to start racing bikes again. So when we got to day 3 and it was the climbing stage and there was a little bit less wind, I was able to help in the echelons a bit more, and I was able to help position the riders a bit more, which was really good. And I did blow up 10K before the climb, but we went full gas in the echelons to kind of break it up even more, because Cavalli had got dropped, Lippert had got dropped, and for our 2 climbers that was a perfect situation. So the 3 of us who were workers needed to sacrifice ourselves for them, and it paid off because they were 1-2, which was amazing. And the last day 4 was really great, because I just felt like myself again in the bunch, because when you kind of don't race for 5 months or whatever, it can be really daunting to go back in, and sometimes your brain's like, oh, you don't know how to do this, or you don't know how to do this. And it was nice that like I could have a couple of days to kind of readjust to getting myself back in the peloton again and remembering what a bike race feels like. So that was a really good first race, and there was really good team atmosphere, and we all just worked really well together, and I hope I get to do it again next year.
You had a DNF in Strade Bianche, but then you got a top 10 in the following day at another Italian race. How are you feeling with your start to the season?
So Strade Bianche was a last minute call in for me, so it was a bit of a shock that I was going there, as it's never really a race that I would be put in. But it was an amazing experience to get to ride the gravel. And I was able to do quite a bit of teamwork at the start for the riders, and we did a great lead into the 9K gravel section. And, you know, I never really expected to finish that race because it's super long and super hard. And once you get dropped, it's really a long, long, long way to go. So me and Taylor, we kind of found ourselves after we'd done a lead-in together in the gravel section. And once we'd finished that long section, we just were like, okay, we're racing again tomorrow. It's a long, long way to go. We need to also be sensible. So that's when our race kind of finished. And the next day, I kind of had a new role, which was really good. I got to kind of protect myself, which I haven't done in a while. So because it was a flat race and we'd had or a mostly flat race, and we'd had started the day before. We more had a climbing team than we had a flat team. So I was the quickest finisher. And yeah, it was really nice to be able to kind of test out a new role, because I'd never got to kind of just sit in the middle of the bunch and see how much energy I had left. So we kind of had two or three cards to play, with Gaia and Spratty being the climbers, and there was a long enough climb to kind of separate the bunch, but to save me as a sprinter in case the sprint came back together. And they went full gas on the climb. We did a super lead in. I let a few wheels go, so there was a bit of a gap. Then they attacked off the front and they got a big gap. And I suffered so hard up the climbs both times round, and it kind of came back together for a small sprint. And I couldn't for the life of me remember how to sprint again. Or I was trying to think, okay, what would I do in this situation? Who do I need to follow? I had a really great lead out from Brody, which was amazing, but they went so early, not the lead out, but the other sprinters. And I knew I shouldn't go that early because it was a headwind. But I needed to go because I had nowhere else to go. And I kind of messed it up a little bit, but actually it was a really great learning experience, because I got to kind of see what I could do when I wasn't doing, domestique duty as well, which was really nice. And I got to see that I was able to get over the climbs as well. So I'm really happy with how the start of the season's going. And, I'm only a few races in now, so the big ones are still to come.
What races do you have coming up?
There's quite a lot of question marks on my calendar at the moment coming up, but I have Drenthe this weekend, then Nokere on Wednesday, and then I have Depan, and then there's a few kind of uncertain races just because they all chop and change with injuries and illness and everything like that, and who's on good form and who's not. But hopefully I'll have a few more good races after that as well.
And what are your goals for this season?
This season, I would really like to have the opportunity again to kind of be a leader, or whether that be a big race, a small race, just to kind of learn how to race for myself again. I would really like to win a nationals jersey. Whether that happens, I don't know, but that would be a really big goal of mine. And also just to kind of be strong in the finishes like I was last year, to be able to climb well and still be there, not with the climbers, but on like the rolling days, to be able to still help out in the lead outs and just continue what I'm doing and show people that, what I'm capable of. And yeah, hopefully people see that as well.
So this season, obviously you're riding for Trek-Segafredo, Zoe's riding for EF, and your dad, Magnus, is a DS for Canyon-SRAM. How do you think that's going to be?
I actually think it'll be okay. My dad is, he's very much able to separate personal and professional life, kind of like me. And I think, we'll be able to say hello to each other in the hotels and stuff, which will be really nice on that line. But, professional work is professional work, and we're not going to kind of be discussing tactics or anything like that, because obviously we each want our individual teams to do well, and we wouldn't ever want to jeopardize like our jobs basically just because we've blabbed about something over the dinner table. And I think it'll be challenging to kind of see each other in, like, if I saw my sister crash, or if my dad saw us lying on the side of the road somewhere, or if he needs to pull back one of us. I think it'll be challenging, but also I think we just have to be professional about it.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Oh, that's a difficult question. I've just been taking it year by year at the moment, but I would really like to have won some bike races by that point. I mean, hopefully Roubaix, that's a goal of mine, that I would love to win that race, and obviously it's kind of in our blood. But I would just like to be an established rider that, I can do a bit of everything. I can be a leader, I can be a helper, I can be a time trialer, and just be me and be comfortable in the Peloton doing what I love. And yeah, like I said, I would love to win some bike races because it's been a while, but I'm one of those people that just kind of also takes it as it comes, because like I've experienced in the past few years with cycling, things get thrown in your face all the time and you have all these problems and you don't know what life's going to throw at you. But yeah, if everything goes smoothly, that's what I would like to achieve.
Who's your favorite current rider?
Oh, that's a difficult one. I have a lot of people that I like. I mean, maybe even though she's my teammate, Elisa Longo Borghini. I mean, she's a lovely person and a really good rider and a really good team leader. And I think she inspires quite a lot of young riders too. And is the proof that you can do everything and that you don't need to kind of be extreme. And yeah, she's so strong, yet she's good at climbing, she's good at sprinting, she's good at time trialing, and I think it just shows that you really can do everything if you want to.
Who's your favorite rider of all time?
Wow, that is a difficult question. I actually could not pinpoint you a favorite rider, so because of that, I'm gonna have to say my mum. I think sometimes she doesn't get the recognition that she deserves, but I think there's a lot of riders growing up that I admired, and a lot of them now are my teammates. So, yeah, it's kind of, but that's just how it is.
What's your favorite race you've ever done?
Oh, I really enjoyed Women's Tour last year. That was a really fun race to do. I also think Tour of Scandinavia was a really good race. Yeah, I've been to lots of cool places that, you wouldn't necessarily go to if you were a normal person. For example, Drenthe, where I'm going to go on the weekend. It's just a small town in the north of the Netherlands, but a really cool race is formed because of it. And yeah, also Nieuwsblad, to do the opening weekend was so cool and something I'll never forget, going on that stage for the team presentation. And yeah, that was really cool. There's a lot of cool bike races, and I'm very grateful that I've got to do a lot of them already.
Is there a race that you'd like to do that you haven't done yet?
I would like to do Roubaix and I would like to do the Tour de France. And they're two that I haven't got to do yet. So I really hope that I can do them someday.
What's your advice for young riders?
Just have fun. I think that's the most important thing you can. Don't take it too seriously, because someday it could be your job. And okay, I still absolutely love my job, but you have days where you don't have the motivation to go out and do 3 hours in the rain, or alternatively 3 hours on the turbo, and you have to because it's your job. So I think you just need to have fun and enjoy yourself and don't take things too seriously. And things can go wrong, which that's happened to me a lot in my short career already. But I think if you love the sport and you remember why you love it, then you can overcome anything. And I think that's really important to keep with you, and to also to celebrate the small wins, because you can't always win a bike race, but you can have small personal wins inside of a bike race that you didn't even finish. So yeah, I think that's also really important to remember.
You've got 5 minutes before you head down to the start of a race. What's on your playlist to get you motivated?
Wow, there's a lot of songs that we have on our Trek playlist that just gets put on, where kind of everyone can add in. But now that we've got some new riders, we're kind of switching up the music. But a lot of just like dance music, some Mamma Mia, I like a bit of that. A bit of Katy Perry is always good. Just anything that really kind of energizes you and gets you ready to go. Lucinda likes to put on a lot of Belgian cyclocross music to get you pumped. So yeah, depending on who's the DJ, it kind of switches it up. But yeah, just anything that really gets you excited and ready to go.
Thanks so much for sharing your cycling life story with me, Eleanor.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. You can find Cycling Talk Podcast on social media. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and the GCN app. It would mean so much to me if you'd give me a follow. I'd like to say a massive thank you to everyone who listens to my podcast and supports. If you have any feedback, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. See you on the bike.